Amen. Amen. Joey said, thank you. Hey, sometimes a cell phone does pay off, brother. amen. Okay. Romans 12. Looking open there. And I bounce around because I got everything written out. Romans 12, 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. Conformed means to form, to mold, adapt, or adjust. Real simple. Fit in. Now, the New Living Version says, I like this. Do not act like the sinful people of the world. Mm-mm. Let God change your life. Let my Jesus change your life, huh? You see what I mean, brother? You don't even have to pick the song. They just flow automatically. Let God change your life. First of all, let Him give you a new mind. Then you will know what God wants you to do. And the things you do will be good and pleasing and perfect. Don't be like the world and the people, the sinful people in it. You know, and it's not hard these days to figure out why the Bible tells believers not to be conformed to this world. All you have to do is look around, and you can see this world is messed up big time. Sometimes one can hardly believe how messed up it actually is. See, I read and I hear about the ungodly ways people are behaving and the ridiculous things they're coming up with to try to solve society's problems. And you just wonder, what's wrong with them? Why would anyone think or act like that? Because they're in the dark, that's why. And we got some Christians, or I should say, sinos. Christians in name only. Okay? Selah on that for a second. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the ruler of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They cannot see the light of the good news, the message about the divine greatness of Christ. Christ is the one who is exactly like God. Their minds have been blinded by the ruler, the god of this world, the devil. Everything in this world system is under His dominion, His control. What it accepts as truth comes from Him, and He's the father of all lies. You want to talk about twisted? It's no wonder this world can't think straight. It's under the influence of the ultimate deceiver. As believers, however, we don't have to just to surrender to that influence. We don't have to live like the world does in the darkness under the devil's thumb. We can walk in the light and live on this earth as more than a conqueror. Romans 8, 37. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. You hear that? His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. Question. What's love got to do with it? Amen. We can reign as King's kids in life through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, Amplified Classic Edition. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He, God, has raised us up together with Jesus by virtue of our relationship with Jesus. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, meaning that in Jesus Christ, we have all the benefits of knowing God, being chosen for salvation, being adopted as His children. We have forgiveness, insight, the gifts of the Spirit, power to do God's will, the hope, the assured expectancy of living forever with Jesus. All because of our intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We are victorious in Christ. We are. 1 John 5:4, still in the Amplified Classic. For whatever is born of God is victorious. Oh, let me say that again. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. It's our faith. It's our faith. The faith that overcomes the world is faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for us. The one who overcomes the world obeys God rather than following the expectations of the world. And He never promised that obeying Him would be easy. But the hard work and the self-discipline of serving Christ is no burden to those who love Him. If our load starts to feel heavy, we can always trust Christ to help us bear it. Matthew 11, 28, 30. Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Put My yoke upon your shoulders. It might appear heavy at first, but it is perfectly fitted to your curves. Learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. When you are yoked to Me, your weary souls will find rest. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. If we love God, we will find obeying Him is a pleasure. So I'm just here to tell you, we are conquerors. We are victorious. Now, there's probably a lot of you right now that say, I certainly haven't felt much like a conqueror lately. Well, welcome to my world. You're not alone. But I got to pick myself right back up and kick myself in the behind. What are you doing? What are you thinking? And then I start some praise music. I open up the Word, and I get back into my conqueror's role. But let me ask you something. You haven't felt like that. Are you born again? If that's a resounding yes, then 1 John 5:4 is talking about you. You are victorious over the world. The word victorious means having conquered in battle or contest, having overcome an enemy or an antagonist. Conquering, vanquishing, defeating thoroughly as a victorious general and victorious troops. Mike, not stormtroopers. Troops. Okay. I got to get Mike right back there. But that's an accurate description of who we are as believers. We are one of the victorious troops of our victorious general, the Lord Jesus Christ. He completely conquered the devil, the world, and the flesh. And when we put our faith in Him, we inherit victory. We were reborn in His image, united with Him, and we instantly became a victor. Not a victim, a victor. A victor. We may not have known right away how to walk in victory, in which a lot of us are still working that out. But all the elements of it were born into us. It's like when we are born physically. We were born to walk. But we didn't just immediately take off walking, did we? No. We start out laying on our back and learn to roll onto the belly. Right? And then we learn to get up on our knees and then sit there and do that. I just think that's the neatest thing when you see them getting to start. And all they get that rocking motion going. Well, then you go from there, you started to crawl. And then the next step was, you did stand up, but you grabbed something to hold on to. And you were standing. And you'd walk, but you weren't letting go. And then finally you let go. And you started to walk. They started to walk. We have to grow and learn to use the ability we were born with. See what I'm saying? You had to learn to walk. In the same way, spiritually, we were born an overcomer with God's victorious nature and dominion on the inside of us. To operate in that dominion, we must learn some things. So, we must word up. We must word up. We must spend time in the Word of God to learn to think like He does. We need to think like He does. If we don't, we'll continue to think like the world, which means we'll keep talking and acting like the world, which means we'll keep getting the world's results. The world is under a curse. So everything it does results in corruption and destruction. See, that's not what our Heavenly Father wants for any of us. He sent His Son to redeem us from the curse. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Genesis 24:1 tells us how he was blessed. Ready for this? The Lord had blessed him in every way, in everything. Did you hear what I just said? That blessing falling upon you and me. Hallelujah. Everything means all things. The whole nine yards. The whole kit and caboodle. Yeah. For us. So we can walk far above the curse in the blessing. And he's provided everything we need to do it. He has multiplied his grace and peace to us as believers. 2 Peter verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The power to grow doesn't come from within us, but from God, because we don't have the resources to truly be godly. So God allows us to participate in his divine nature in order to keep us from sin and help us live for him. When we were born again, we became new creations. God, by his Holy Spirit, empowers us with his own moral goodness. Verse 4. Through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay. The word lust, as it is used here, doesn't just refer to sexual temptation. It includes all the carnal drives, passions, and desires of the flesh. And those things are dangerous. They are dangerous. The devil uses them to pressure people into advancing his agenda for their lives. And when yielded to, they bring destruction. We, as God's people, escape that destruction by bringing our bodies and our souls, our mind, will, and emotions into conformity with him. And as we word up, we find out what his will is. Put our faith in his power that's at work in us and live accordingly. Instead of yielding to the carnal drives and passions, we yield to our reborn spirit and put into operation the principles revealed in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. This is a heavy one. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not all Christians these days, however, have been taught to do that. On the contrary, they have been told that because New Covenant believers are not under the law, they can do whatever their flesh wants. After all, indulging carnal passions or drives is just part of being human, right? So it's no big deal. No big deal. But it is a big deal. Very big deal. And according to James, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now remember, James here is addressing believers. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now a little bit, maybe this will help you just a little bit. New Living Version. A man is tempted to do wrong when he lets himself be led by what his bad thoughts tell him to do. When he does what his bad thoughts tell him to do, he sins. When sin completes its work, it brings death. Right here. Like the brother was saying. In here. Bad thoughts. Bad thoughts. Get rid of them thoughts. Get God-type thoughts. Get rid of those thoughts. As soon as they come on you, get rid of them. Because they'll lead you down the wrong path. So in other words, even for the believers, sin is deadly. Okay, and sin won't keep you out of heaven. If you truly are born again. But it will shorten your time on this earth. It will also rob us of the abundant life God intends for us to enjoy here and now. It will doom us to defeat and rob us of the victory that belongs to us in Christ. What's more, living according to the flesh and yielding to sin is contrary to our identity as a believer. It's plain hypocritical. And a hypocrite is someone who pretends on the outside to be something he's not on the inside. And born-again believers aren't sinners on the inside. We're not inwardly like the world. We live in this world, obviously, but Jesus said, we aren't of the world any more than he is. Oh, that's John 17, verse 18, by the way. See, we are of God. That means that we are of God. Our inner man has been created in his image in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4, 24. I'm giving you the word. How do we go about letting the man on the inside come out? Well, back to Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. The Passion Translation, by the way. This is a purposeful renewing of our mind, you see? Now, according to W.E. Vine, the renewal of the mind is the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. It's the change that takes place in our soul when we word up. The soul conforms to whatever information it's fed, and the information in God's Word is vastly different from what the world's information is. The world says, hey, do your own thing. The Word says, do all to the honor and glory of God. The world says, if it feels good, do it. The world says, whether it feels good or not, if it is sin, don't do it because it brings death. The world says, go along with the crowd. Everybody's doing this. The Word says, be imitators of God as well-beloved children imitate their Father. Feeding on God's information renews our mind, and a renewed mind is simply amazing. It will reject the lies of the world as fast as a computer rejects data that is contrary to its programming, because it is taught and trained by the Word of God. Our renewed mind will quickly cast off worldly ideas, habits, and behaviors that keep us in bondage and open the door for us to experience true liberty. What did Jesus say in John 8, 31, 32? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If we don't continue to word up, though, the mind remains unrenewed, and it will continually trip you up. When Holy Spirit tries to help you by directing you to do things God's way, your unrenewed mind will reject His direction. It will say, I'm not going to do that. It doesn't make any sense. An example. You'll like this, brother. Jen, you're going to like this. You're going to love this. For example, say you're going through a time of financial lack. When Holy Spirit tells you to sow during the time of lack. Teresa? That's speaking to you? Okay. By telling you to give a big offering or blessing someone else who is in need. If your mind isn't renewed, you'll likely resist the Spirit's leading. But a renewed mind, that's a renewed mind. I can't give now. You think, I'm running short as it is. Guess what? You won't realize that giving is your answer. That is your answer. Because in 2 Corinthians 9:16, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Renewing our mind with the Word of God works. I know. I know. It works victory. It works deliverance. It works when nothing else out there in the world is working. If we want the Word to work for us, it must be our standard. And when you're inspecting vessels, you have a standard that they have to meet. You know, you understand what I'm saying there. We must agree with what it says and reject everything that is contradicting to it. You hear that? We must agree with the Word and what it says and reject everything that contradicts it. You must decide, I'm not going to change the Word to fit my lifestyle. I'm going to change my lifestyle to fit the Word. A pastor, don't you think sometimes life is more complicated than that? No, I don't. See, that's one reason renewing my mind with God's Word hasn't been or has always been easy for me. Has always been easy for me. I'm just simple. I've told you that. You ain't got a Bible scholar here. I'm just simple. God chose me, put me here. Was I equipped? No. He equips those He calls, though. And I've stood on that from day one. I choose to simply believe. I believe God is way smarter than I am. See, I don't have anything to prove for myself by experience whether or not His Word is true. If He says it, it's true. So I don't argue with Him. Frivolous. I simply put His thoughts into my mind. Align my thinking with what He said and bring my will into harmony with His. The will is part of the soul that turns thinking into action. It's the part of us that decides whether we are going to move toward God or away from God. We got saved, for instance, as an act of our will. We heard the gospel and we decided to believe on Jesus and confess Him as our Lord. We aligned our will with God's. And all of the devils in hell couldn't stop us from being born again that day. You remember that day? Now I do. It was resurrection morning. It was April 19th, 1987. Between 11:30 and 12. Yeah. Never the same. Never the same. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way when there ain't no way. Our will conformed to the will of God is a mighty force. When faithfully fed and fortified with God's Word, it will keep us continually progressing in victory. It will prevent us from being blown around by the winds of the world and enable us to live as the conquerors we were born to be. So bottom line, the decision is ours. What do we want to do? Do we want to walk with God as victorious ones or be overcome by the world? It's always back on us to make a decision. See, we must believe. We must simply believe. We're born of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth. He's wiped out our sins, delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into His kingdom of light. He's recreated us in His own image, in true righteousness and holiness. He's given us His Word so we can renew our minds. And He filled us with His own Holy Spirit. Think about that for a minute. His own Holy Spirit. He didn't just send an angel to help us. He moved into us. He came to live inside of us so He could personally teach us and empower us with His own mighty power. He didn't trust it to anyone else. He didn't trust it to man. He moved in. The greater one dwells within you. The teacher's in you. We were born to be victorious world overcomers. Jesus tells us, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And because you are in Him, you are an overcomer. You are a victorious world overcomer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this day that went forth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we stand upon your word, knowing that we are victorious world overcomers. The world doesn't rule us. No. We, as a body of believers, as the ecclesia, reign and rule here. We are the governing body that you left, the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we are awake and making our voices heard. We are no longer silenced, but we do not walk in fear. We do not and will not cower to fear or intimidation. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. And no one is going to take that from us. We are mighty through the blood, and the word of our testimony. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen, amen. And amen. Thank you all.